Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's time for integration. You're listening to DreamPath on BBS Radio, BBS Late Night Live Talk Radio, and I'm your host, DJ, and with me once again is my co-host, Geralyn.
Hello, everyone.
You know, we have another fascinating guest with us tonight, who will be with us very shortly. And before we get to that, I'd like to talk just a little bit about what's been happening with DreamPath over the last few months. We've had some wonderful, amazing guests on our show. And each time a show finishes, we begin to wonder what our DreamPath is. And it is becoming more and more clear to us that we are meeting up with individuals who have found their passion, have found a way to make a difference in their own lives, and therefore making a difference in the lives of those people they come in contact with. And it's so fascinating, and listeners, please, you always have a chance to go to the archives and listen to any of these guests that we've had in the past. They're certainly worth listening to. And if you'd like to come to our site and have a better review of what's going on, you can always reach us at dreampath.info, and we'd be glad to hear from you. Another person that is with us, a wonderful individual, and she's our guest this evening. Her name is Justine Alessi, and she's a master tarot reader and a teacher of the tarot. Her notoriety reached new levels of popularity through her clients' word-of-mouth appraisal of how Justine's readings brought their lives into a refreshing perspective that they could more clearly understand. Justine felt there still remained an inadequacy in the description of the cards, and with co-author Miss M.E. McMillan, they have published Rebirth of the Oracle, Tarot for the Modern World, which simplifies and demystifies this ancient oracle. And at this point, I would like to say hello and welcome to the show, Justine.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be on your show.
We had a few technical difficulties, so we really want to get underway as soon as possible, because after our chat last night, we could see that there is such a passion and a vigor behind your mission here, and you have so much to say to our listeners. So, DJ...
Yeah, you know, I would like to begin at the beginning, if I may.
Sure.
And one of the beginnings is how the oracle, how the tarot came into your life.
What happened was I was a librarian for most of my life, and I'm a little bit older, I think, than most first-time writers. I'm in my late 50s. But, oh gosh, maybe 20 years ago, I was working in the library, and a young man who came into the library for no reason I can ever conceive dropped a deck of brand new tarot cards on my desk, and he said, "You can do these." And I thought, okay, and I looked at them, and I could. It was just like they clicked with me. I had, like, no prior knowledge of the tarot. I had seen some books on the tarot, actually, that I was interested in, and they were yet, I didn't really even understand them. They were really esoteric, and none of the meanings seemed to apply to today. So I had a friend come in, and it was all the serendipity of life. This woman had come into the library with her children for story hour. Her name was Cheryl Gray, and she was from Tucson. And at the time, and still, I live in Ohio, she'd moved here, and she went, "Oh, tarot cards." She goes, I said, "You know, I don't even know what to do with these." And she said, "Let me show you." And she did a layout for me. And she recommended a book, and it's quite ancient. It's called Tarot of the Bohemians. And I read that, and I don't know what happened, but I got it. I just got it. And ever since then, it was my passion. And for years, I just did readings. You know, people were like, "Oh, I live in a small town. It's called North Kingsville, Ohio." and, oh, like, say, population 3,500. And people would just come in and they'd say, hey, will you read my cards? Will you read my cards? And I did. I read everybody's cards. Anybody that wanted their cards read, I read. And before I knew it, it became a whole snowball, and I became a tarot card reader, followed by an author. And now, since I've been an author, I have a mission. My mission is to change the face of the tarot. Taking it away from the charlatan image, from the image of people who are gypsies, you know, readers who are unscrupulous. All I wanted people to know is that the tarot is an oracle, and it will help you. It will enlighten you. It will open doors for you. And testimonial after testimonial of people, sometime when I think that people know, I think the belief is that we all know what's going to happen to us. In the reincarnative theory, that we came into this world, what we chose to do, and we're going to follow these paths. And I believe all of this information is located in the subconscious. The symbols on tarot, as a client touches the tarot and shuffles them through their fingers and transfers their energy, puts them onto the cards, and then the reader, I'm just an interpreter. I'm not saying I know your future. I'm saying you know your future. But maybe you're cloudy with it. Maybe you're not sure where it's going to go. So as I look at the cards, I start to interpret. And most people will have this sense of like, yeah, I know that. I do know that. But they yet haven't been able to put it into words. I put it into words for them as simple as simple, if that's what it is. And then they can follow their path.
This, you are, in a sense, then, a translator, an artist, and a writer all at the same time.
Right, and I kind of think myself as like, I'm a code breaker, you know. I look at the tarot and I break the code that people, that may understand it, you know.
Also, it sounds to me like you also break or help or assist the individuals in breaking their own codes and realizing that they can, or finding the codes within themselves that they never realized that were there. And, you know, as you were saying, opening new doors.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Now, the universe works in wondrous ways, and the tarot has been with us, I think, as far as you're concerned, very far back. The tarot
I think that's the 12th century is, I think, the first documentation of it. But there's so much controversy over where it came from, because, you know, most readers will go with the Egyptians 12th century. Some will go with the Greek 12th century. Now, people who are the Da Vinci Code people, and I've been with those people, they think the tarot began during the Renaissance as a, like, for the Grail is to hide their message. I don't know if you're familiar with the Da Vinci Code, but those were the people that believed during the Renaissance that Christ was married to Mary Magdalene. And they think that the tarot was invented so that the Grailists, who would be considered heretics, were hidden. The story of Mary Magdalene and Jesus was hidden in the tarot. I don't dispute a deck could have been developed for that, but that's not what I believe. I believe the tarot came well before that, and that it opens the Akashic record for every individual that handles it, and that you just kind of know the way things should go in the future. And I've had some people, and I don't know if you've read the back of my book or not, most of the people I do are regular people like all of us, you know. But I have one client, I don't even call him a client, he's a friend. His name is Trevor Vines, and he is an extreme sports superstar in motocross, like the extreme motocross. And, oh gosh, he's got to be in his 30s now, but maybe 10 years ago or so, he used to come in and we'd talk, and I'd see this path of fame in front of him, which is something I rarely ever see. And it would be the card of the Chariot, which is fame, the Ace of Swords, which is power, and the Ace of Pentacles, which is money. And they would all fall into his seventh house in the tarot, which is a karmic house. And I'd say, Trevor, you are destined for fame and fortune. And truthfully, I know everyone would love to hear that about themselves, but
right.
I would say that will show up one in 10,000 readings. That's not something I see every day. And he said, and he laughs about it, and we were on one of the radio shows together one night, and he said, I just got tired of hearing her tell it to me. He said, so I put my dirt bike on the back of my truck, and I went to California. He has achieved extreme levels of popularity in the sports world, and he totally credits the tarot reading for getting him there, which has been an amazing thing.
So
the majority of my people, they're just people like us. You know, most people are not going to achieve great fame in their lives, but they have something great to achieve, and that's my belief. And my belief is that if I can undo, if I can unravel the mystery, if I can decode the tarot that they handle, those people will find what they're here for. And I've got a lot of satisfied people who have come in and out of my life.
So if someone's coming in with a purpose, with a burning question within themselves and truthfully presents it, the better that is for the reading?
That's absolutely correct. You know, DJ, a lot of people, a lot of readers, well, they're going to be trying to impress people with this sort of vague knowledge. My belief is, if a client handles the cards, they can ask me, tell me what you want to know. I don't need to guess. Could I lay out a spread and give you sort of this overview? Sure, I could. Reading tarot is like doing anything else. I have people, say, for instance, they work in a plant. And they'll say to me, wow, how can you do that? I say, wow, how can you work in the plant? You've done that. You've done run that press a zillion times, so you know how to run that press. It's the same way with me with cards. I've done them so many times, I just know what they mean. They talk to me. And so if you've got a particular question, ask it. Not only will I answer it, I will give you every little detail and every step how to get where you want to go, because it's in the tarot. And I shouldn't say I give it to you, you give it to you. I decode it.
That's beautiful. You know, and your book, The Rebirth of the Oracle, Tarot for the Modern World, is a beautiful example of connecting to these cards. And when we got your book, I opened it up, and I opened it to the Knight of Pentacles.
Uh-huh.
And I read it, and I thought, boy, that's interesting. There's a number of things in there that sound like me.
Which to me is no accident. It's no accident.
And, you know, just opened it up. But then, of course, I went to some other pages and read more, and I went, wow, this is an excellent way for people to come in contact with the tarot. And as you know, in our conversation yesterday, I mean, there are still are people who have a fear of the tarot because they feel something horrible or, you know, will happen, etc. And you certainly demystify most, if not all, of this when you're dealing with your clients and talking to your audiences when you're teaching.
Well, yeah, the first thing I do when I get in front of an audience or teach a class or even do a singular reading, I'll introduce the cards, and I guess it was about a canned speech by now because I've said it so many times, but I'll say, these are tarot cards. You will control the reading by asking questions. You may ask me as many questions as you like about yourself and those closest to you regarding love, health, work, money, career, travel. I have no limits. There are two cards in the tarot that frighten people. One is death and one is the devil. I am not God. I do not know who's going to die, and neither does anybody else. The death card is not a card of physical death, nor has it ever been. The death card is rather a card of a great transition in your life, the transition being so large that it transcends all four areas of life and changes them: your day-to-day activities, your finances, your personal relationships, and your power. In the 21st century, marriage, divorce, having children, when they leave home, moving across the country, changing careers. If you won the Mega Ball last night, you're in a death card, because those are the big events. Mm-hmm. I tell my clients, if you encounter a reader who tells you you're going to die or somebody's going to die, get up and walk out. For two reasons. They are assuming the power of God, and that isn't who they are. And two, they don't know anything about the tarot. The second one, the devil. A lot of fundamentalists will say things like, oh, the tarot's evil, the devil's in it. Well, the devil is actually a card of bondage. We have our own demons. The devil is what we do to ourselves to prevent our own growth. For most human beings, it's a card of anxiety and fear. Anxiety and fear holds more people back from doing what they want, becoming what they want, achieving what they want, than any combination of physical problems. Greed, anger, envy, guilt, all of these emotions are devil cards. And what happened was during the Renaissance, the cards made their way into Europe, in particular France and Italy. French and Italian painters, rather, loved to paint the tarot, which in those days was just the 22 cards of the major arcana. But realizing society's based on its religion, these people were strongly Christian Catholic, and almost to the point of, like, the fearful Christianity that was abounding in the Renaissance. And they looked at the cards, these painters, and they translated them through their own frame of reference. So what you had here were people that called them death and the devil, but the Egyptians, they didn't even believe in that. They believed in reincarnation. The new decks are calling the death card transformation, which I think has done wonders for, like, and removed some of the fear. And I'm not really familiar with their calling. I usually use the universal wave deck. I don't know what the new decks are calling the devil card, but I call it self-imposed bondage, what we do to ourselves to prevent our own growth. Knowing that stops so many people from being afraid, and I always do that, always.
Well, your goal is to change the face of tarot. And
absolutely.
You are doing that in so many different ways, especially, of course, in your book. Now, I should tell our listeners, too, that the rebirth of the Oracle Tarot for the Modern World is available, and you can always get a hold of Justine Alessi at the same name, .com, JustineAlessi.com. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, you are. It's JustineAlessi.com. But my book's also available at Borders and Walden's and Books a Million. It's available in all the bookstores. And sometimes if they don't have it in stock, they'll order it for you, because I know they don't carry every book in the world. But the other place you can get it is from my publisher, which is Ozark Mountain, and that is O-Z-A-R-K-M-T, OzarkMT.com. And they have it as well.
And you're,
so it's widely available.
And it's available through there, and it's you've worked very closely with the lady there, Dolores Cannon, who
yes, I
understand has really worked with you in launching this book to begin with and to carry on as it is right now.
Yeah, well, Dolores owns Ozark Mountain, and Dolores is the person, she's probably considered the top most prominent past life hypnoregressionist in the world. She's the one who translated all the Nostradamus quatrains and through regressive therapy. And she's written, last count, I believe, 13 books. She started Ozark Mountain Publishers, and she only chooses people that she thinks are much like her, that they have a message that's different and that's enlightening and it's happy. She doesn't want to scare people. She's not like that. And so when she chose me, I was thrilled, because Ozark Mountain probably publishes, I don't know, maybe 10 books a year, but they're very good at promotion and getting me out there. They've been responsible for, you know, being in different states and audiences and doing different things, trade shows, conferences. And actually last year I went to Central America, to Panama, and they loved the whole concept of the book. And I was amazed at how many Central American people are into the tarot. And I learn more every day. Every day I learn more about, you know, the people that are involved. And that was probably my most successful, as far as I was concerned, trip, because they were just fascinated by my new theory.
Isn't it great having an audience that is captive to, well, not captive. I mean, I don't know if that's the right word, but...
It is the right word. They're very captive, because you're like, oh, yeah, I didn't know that, you know. It's great.
Well, the energy certainly circulates that way, and more at this time, you are directing seminars and lectures and workshops.
That's correct.
And teaching the tarot.
Anytime
teaching
tarot I can.
Teachers, in some cases, in the sense of really bringing it to the modern world, so that, you know, again, that almost anybody can understand it who's interested.
That's exactly right. And I am available. And again, you can always reach me through my website, Or actually, what I'll give you my private email. It's justinealessi@adelphia.net. And that's like my private email, but, or you can reach me through Ozark Mountain, again, ozarkmt.com. They have an 800 number, and you can definitely reach me through Ozark Mountain. And I think I might even have their phone number in front of me. I don't know if they do for sure or not, but definitely the website, ozarkmt.com. And I'm available to do any seminars, anything that anybody wants me to do with the tarot, I will do, especially to teach it. Now, I won't go out, like, if somebody would call me and say, will you come to Minneapolis to do card readings, I won't. No, I won't do that. But to come to teach it, sure, I'll do that. Then I'll do readings, you know. I love to do readings. It's fun. Probably my passion.
All part
what
of it.
Say?
It certainly has expanded. Once again, I'd like to remind our listeners you're listening to Dream Path on BBS Radio, and we're inviting anyone who's listening, if you'd like to call in and if you have a question for our guest, Justine Alessi, well, by all means, give us a call. And if you're in the USA, it's toll-free, 877-270-8714. And everywhere else in the world, including Canada, it is 530-413-4515. And I do say even in Canada, because that's where we're broadcasting from, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We're very pleased to be with our present guest, Justine Alessi, who is a master tarot reader and teacher of the tarot. And if you could just share with us some of the special things that have happened in your life. I mean, you already have, but are there some highlights, different aspects of your teaching, of your work, that you'd like to share with our listeners at this time?
Yeah, I think the favorite thing, when I started to learn, or to use the tarot, it started to come back to me. I think it came from a past life. I started to notice that people fell into archetypical patterns. And I never realized if anybody else noticed this or not. I got to the point that I kept sort of notes on people, and there's 16 court cards in the tarot, which of the 16, I would say 12 are adults, and then there's 4 children cards. And I began to notice that the kings, the queens, the knights, and the pages, people fell into, like, tip archetypes. Down so much to the way their bodies responded to health issues, to the way they handled money, to the careers they chose, I thought, okay. So I started to keep tabs on it. And I developed a profile of an archetypical profile of every one of the court cards. Well, nobody's ever done that before. I think there's been, like, some of the older books will say, for instance, Queen of Cups, and then they'll say Intuitive Woman. Well, I just expanded that to 12 pages, down to the fact the Queen of Cups are very unlikely to get rich because they give all their money away, but they always have money. There's just things like that. And I put the profiles together, and that has been the best part of my book. I go into an audience, and probably the gift that I think people enjoy the most is I can look at somebody or feel their energy, and I know exactly which of the 16 people they are. I just know. And it fascinates people, and I kind of get a kick out of it. I'm walking through the audience, and I'll say, you're a King of Swords, and you're a Queen of Cups, and you're this, and you're that. And then I tell them, and they go, oh, my gosh, how did you know that? Well, I don't know, but I know. And the bottom line of that has expanded to the thing that I'm most well-known for. And there's a jewelry company. It's called Dream Seeds. It's dreamseeds.com. And a woman's name is Suzanne Bazard. And I met Suzanne several years ago at a trade show when my book first came out. She developed an entire line of tarot jewelry that goes with your personality, like the Queen of Cups and the Queen of Pentacles or whatever. She's got amulets and she's got baby magic wands. She's got earrings, all very reasonable. But what she did is she took the stones that went, like in the Queen of Cups, which I'm real, that's me. There's a rose quartz is the stone. She incorporated the rose quartz into the jewelry, as well as another stone that indicates psychic energy, as well as another stone that indicates compassion. Whatever the characteristics of the queen or the king or the knight are, she incorporated them into the jewelry. And so the jewelry, I guess, has been doing very well. New Age Retailer reviewed it in the March, I think it was March, April. I don't know if they're every month or bi-monthly. But they reviewed it in their March issue, and people love the jewelry. And with the jewelry, she puts in the little kind of a synopsis of what I say, you know, in the book. So that's probably been the biggest impact that I've had when it comes to other people, because it opened a wide door for her. So, yeah, there's been a lot of things. People, you know, will come to me and they'll go, am I ever going to... The three top questions in tarot, you might find this interesting, about will I ever have love, will I ever have money, will I ever lose weight? Those are the top three questions in the tarot. That's a lot for us, huh? So, and I've got answers for everybody. So...
Well, you know, it is interesting about the archetypes, because it's true. I'm aware of archetypes.
Uh-huh.
I'm aware of how other systems have used archetypes to identify various aspects of within the individual that gives them that quality.
Well, you know, Carl Jung used the archetypes of the major arcana of the tarot in his therapy. Carl Jung was a 20th century psychiatrist. But he didn't use the court cards, but he used the major arcana, which I find really interesting. And I'm also surprised at how many Jungian psychologists get a hold of me. They contact me. And actually, there's one who at Ohio University, in Athens University in Ohio, who uses my book as recommended reading because of the archetypical personalities of the court cards. And I loved that. That was another thing that I really loved that happened.
The descriptions in your book, Justine, are amazing.
Thank you.
They're very visual, and it's a very good learning aid for, you know, you can just kind of close your eyes and visualize. And I was putting names on the various types as I was reading the book of people I knew.
And I tell people that's the easiest way to learn them. If you look at, say, King of Wands, and maybe your dad's a King of Wands, okay, that's like dad. That's the easiest way to learn the archetypes. So you're instinctively doing the easiest way. That's great.
Oh, yeah. It's a real simple process for learning.
And that's why we definitely recommend to our listeners that this kind of, it's so much fun. When we received your book, and thank you very much for sending it our way.
I thank Ozark Mountain, but thank you. Yeah, Ozark Mountain sent it on to you, my publisher.
Well, you know, we had a lot of fun. We sat in the kitchen one evening, and we must have spent a good 3 hours just reading through it, playing with it, and getting out the deck of cards, doing a reading. It's something within the book itself that encourages that for anyone who's really interested in the tarot. So. Definitely, listeners, this is something. If you are, just pick up this wonderful book, The Rebirth of the Oracle, of the Oracle, A Tarot for the Modern World. And, you know, most of the time, there are many, many kinds of decks for the tarot, but the most best known one is the Waite Tarot, I believe.
That's correct.
That is one that you use.
That's the one that I learned with the Universal Waite. I teach with the Waite, and I have my book illustrated with the Waite deck because that's the most common deck. But my belief is if you learn, whatever deck you learn from, I find that one to be the easiest to understand the symbolism of. And Eden Gray, probably, gosh, I can't even think, might have been in the 1940s, wrote The Tarot by Eden Gray, and she gives these descriptions of the symbolism on the Waite deck that are excellent. I don't particularly agree with her definitions, not because they're so wrong, but because they're more on the negative side, some of them, and I don't like that part. I like things to be upbeat, but also, cards are from the 40s. This is 2007. I have cards in my... I have, you know, determined which cards would indicate things that are very modern, like internet dating. You take the Eight of Wands in the tarot deck, which used to indicate arrows of love through the air. Well, I don't know what that would mean today, but to me, it means the internet dating. We have to have a card for internet dating because it's pertinent to the 21st century. We have to have cards for drug addiction because that's pertinent to the 21st century. We have to have cards for identity theft because that belongs in the 21st century. So essentially what I did is I took some of the meanings that maybe would not have existed 100 years ago, or definitely didn't exist centuries ago, and put them into today. And people, they love my book. They say it's very easy to navigate. And I had a development company. They were called Gemini Development. They were out of Solon, Ohio. And they did this market research for me that I'm not real familiar because I'm not real techno, but it's some kind of thing where they call like 1,000 people in different areas of the country and ask for preferences or send out forms or something. And they love my book because they've determined that people would like on the same page to be sort of a reference guide, which I did with bullet points, and then the full description, you know, the word description. So if somebody were trying to learn the codes, they would be able to, like, look at the book, turn to that page, and if they're what they could sort of get a hold of the bullet point, oh, that means identity theft, then they can elaborate or not, but they don't have to read through all the text every time they're trying to learn the tarot, which I think makes it nice and easy for people to learn it. And my belief is that anybody pretty much can read tarot. I think some people can read it better than others, and I'm going to go with 50% the cards and 50% intuition, but don't we all have intuition?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
I have a question, Justine. Uh-huh. What do you mean by identity theft?
You know when people go onto the Internet and take your social security number and start using your credit card?
Oh, I meant being out of the flow, using your
No, I mean strictly like what it is today in the 21st century. People steal your credit cards and your ID over online, and they use, you know, to destroy your credit. That is a very real 21st century thing that you can look for. If I were to say to you, you know, there's an identity theft energy around you, you'd want to check into that. And I've had people say to me that has happened to them or not. They look into it. They're able to prevent it. My thought is if you know what's coming and you don't like it, you change it. A tarot reading will never leave you high and dry, never. It'll tell you what you want to know, and if you don't like what you see, it will also give you an alternative path, and I have never seen the tarot not give a person an alternate path. It always does. So it's really comforting. It's very comforting.
Yeah, that's another thing that you do in your readings that I feel is not necessarily common. It is something that truly opens it up for the individual that you're reading for, that they have free will, that they have choices, and they can make those choices.
And the choices are up to them, you know?
Yeah. And it's so wonderful that you leave it in their hands, but at the same time, you're doing this wonderful translation, as it were.
That's a really good word. That is a very good word. Thank you. I like that word.
Now, you've dedicated this book to the Queen of Cups.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, the Queen of Cups is the Queen of Hearts, and she's probably the most likely person to be able to read the tarot. Because Queen of Cups, and, you know, I guess I kind of dedicated it to myself, I don't know, but Queen of Cups are the ones that they have the belief in the magic, and they believe that things should be happy. And I think there's a little bit of a rose-colored glasses on a Queen of Cups. And I think to be a tarot reader, you have to believe in magic. You have to believe that anything can happen. And of all my kings and queens in the tarot, the Queen of Cups is the one who really wants people to make their dreams come true. And she's just like that. And I believe, too, that Queen of Cups are pretty old souls. I've met quite a few Queen of Cups, and the commonalities in them, again, that whole chapter is in my book, but some of the commonalities are that she's very... It's very unlikely that she puts herself first. That's one of the most important. She seems to want to believe that there's good in everybody. When other people are saying, oh, that person's terrible, the Queen of Cups is the one who will say, oh, you know, but he or she's really nice about this. They always look for the good. They try to forgive people. They may even actually go, you know, too far in their belief that everybody's good, thus getting taken advantage of. But I also find them to be the women who are the most compassionate and the people who seem to have a lot of intuition. And I don't know if that comes, well, I do know, I believe it comes with having an old soul. And when you're an old soul, you don't look at people as bad or good. You look at them as old souls, young souls. Young souls are people who may be hurtful to other people. Let's face it, there's people like that all over the place. But are they doing it on purpose? I don't think so. I think it's a reincarnative thing. They just haven't reached the place where you are yet. So your job as a Queen of Cups is probably to go out there and give these people some guidance.
Yes, I'm a Queen of Cups.
I knew you were. You told me that. You read it, huh?
Mm-hmm. I suppose the Queen of Cups has a wee bit of a problem with setting up boundaries.
A wee bit? It's like a huge problem.
Yeah.
And that's one of the, that's probably the last life lesson that I think Queens of Cups have to learn. And what I found with myself is, you know, I'm just saying I'm 57, and up until maybe I was 50, I never set a boundary. And then I kind of got to the place, I think you get older and you get a little smarter and you think, this could be hurting my family. This could be hurting, you know, myself by giving so much of myself. So you have to maybe pull back a little bit. And that's why I think the tarot was such a life-saving thing for me, because what it did is it allowed me to help people, but it also allowed me not to pull myself into the involvement, because that's what most Queen of Cups will do. Queen of Cups are born social workers, therapists. That's how they're born. And, you know, yourself, considering you are one, you know how much you've given away of yourself. A lot. And
that
that's not
so
always
true.
Real healthy.
That is so true.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Well, it, at the same time, you're, the Queen of Cups is gifting the world with their beauty, with their compassion, and with the vibration that with that they're working in. And this can encourage, you know, we would love to encourage people to find their dream path, their way. And it seems to me that if someone goes to you for a reading or comes to a class or comes to a workshop, it allows them to open up new parts of themselves, which, you know, seems to be so important at this particular time here in 2007.
You are just so right on with that. You are definitely on the same channel as I am. That's what it's for. It's not so much, you know, some readers, especially the old-fashioned readers, they'll use the tarot to control. And there's like this faction of women and men who are readers that will encourage people for recurrent visits and come every day. Well, they want your money. People who will say to you things like, well, you know, you have a really bad card around your love life, but if you come to me, I'll burn a candle for you, or I'll give you this, or I'll sell you this amulet, and things will change. Well, that's a lot of baloney to me. People have to change for themselves. Your job as a reader is not to sell them an amulet. It's to tell them you have power. You take your power back, and you find what you're looking for. And those are the readers you want people to go to. That's the kind of reader you want. You want an upbeat, uplifting reader who's not about making $1 million from you, because, let's face it, that the traffic doesn't bear that. Again, we're in the 21st century. Nobody has that kind of money. What you want to do is you want to have a reader who is like in tune with you, who understands where you're coming from and is going to say to you, here's a good idea, or try this, or this would work, versus somebody who says, let me burn candles or let me sell you an amulet. That's just ridiculous. You know, I tell people, if somebody wants to burn candles, burn your own candles, you know, that's fine. But you don't need other people to do it, and you sure as heck don't need a reader that wants you to come to them every day or even every week. A couple times a year should be enough. You've got to give the universe time to spin and people to work out the problem that they came to you with in the first place. Problems aren't going to solve overnight. And I use a lot of threes in my reading, and I say in 3 months you should see some result. And that would be like the earliest I would ever recommend a tarot reading is within every 3 months. But I'd say for most people, twice a year should be adequate.
And that, you know, that is so true about so many other practices. Yeah, I mean, you hear about the chiropractors and so on. You know, all good practitioners aren't doing it for the money. They're doing it for the person they're working with. And you're at the same time, when you're doing this work, you must gather some wonderful insights.
Yourself. There's nothing that when I do readings, it's not just for them; it's for me. I learn from every person who sits across from me, every audience that I speak to. I take something out of there. That's how I got the archetypes, because I started to notice the patterns in the people. They gave back to me just as much as I give to them. They've changed my life. I love my clients. I love them. They're more than that to me. They're my source of enlightenment.
Love you too, Justine. We're getting fairly close to the end of the show. It was wonderful talking with you yesterday, and it was equally wonderful talking with you this evening. And I'm sure our listeners are enjoying it. And we encourage everyone to anyone who's interested in the tarot. This is certainly something to look for and to find insight for yourself in these major court cards that turn into archetypes. It's fascinating, and thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Well, I enjoy it. I'm really glad to be able to talk to you too, and it's been a pleasure. And I really am, you know, proud that you've called me, and I'm thrilled to know that I've got this venue to let some people know more about my belief in the tarot and what it can do. And I hope everybody picks up a deck of tarot cards and uses them. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Everyone's needing some comfort. Everyone needs a tool of enlightenment. And I believe my method is comforting, and it's enlightening, and it's spiritual. It's not anything else. And if you can't find comfort in the tarot, you're not using it correctly.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Well,
thank
you're
you.
Listening to Dream Path on BBS Radio, BBS Late Night Talk Radio, Live Talk Radio. And our guest this evening is Justine Alessi. You can reach her anytime at her website, justinealessi.com. Same as her name. You can come to our site. It's posted there as well. And next week actually 2 weeks from now, we'll be introducing two ladies from Creo Mundi, Allison Prentice and Janet Kingsley. We talked with them fairly recently. Certainly their excitement and joy is something very translatable. And I'd like to say good night. And Justine, thank you once again. We'll be in touch with you. And thank you for sharing with everyone this evening your wisdom and your knowledge and your heart. We can
thank
really
you
feel
so much.
Thank
it's
you.
Been totally my pleasure. And I'll continue to listen to you guys every Saturday night. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Justine. Thank you so much.
And hopefully we'll talk again.
We will.
And as we were signing off, I'd like to say good night to everyone.